Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're looking at something that I think is super relevant to a lot of people listening, racial and ethnic disparities in how well therapy works, and specifically at university counseling centers.
Okay.
Our source for this is a paper by Owen and colleagues published back in 2021 in the Journal of Counseling Psychology.
Right.
And they had a huge data set. Over 16,000 students.
Wow.
Across 33 different counseling centers all in the U.S.
Yeah, big study.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big study. And the question we're really trying to get at here is, you know, does the racial makeup of a campus impact how much students benefit from therapy?
It's such a fascinating question. You know, and what makes it so interesting, I think, is that university counseling centers, generally speaking, they do a pretty good job, right? Like overall, we see somewhere between 35 and 70% of students show improvement.
Yeah, that's a pretty big range, though.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, still the majority of students are getting some benefit out of it. But what the study did was they dug a little deeper and they found that there was actually a difference in outcomes between racial and ethnic minority students.
Okay.
They call it REM in the study, and white students.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And the really kind of surprising part was that this difference really depended on the racial composition of the university itself.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting. I guess I would have thought that a more diverse campus would be better for everyone's mental health.
Yeah. You know? That's kind of the intuitive assumption, right?
Yeah.
But what they found was actually that white students had better therapy outcomes on campuses with a higher percentage of white students.
Whoa. Okay. That's pretty counterintuitive. Why would that be?
Well, one thing to think about is this idea of minority stress, right?
Yeah.
So if you are a student from a racial or ethnic minority group and you're on a predominantly white campus, chances are you're dealing with a lot of little, you know, day-to-day stressors, maybe microaggressions or just a general lack of representation.
Right.
And those things, they kind of add up. They create this like baseline level of stress that can make it harder to really engage in therapy fully and get as much benefit out of it.
So it's not like diversity is bad inherently. It's that maybe some of these campuses aren't doing enough to actually create an environment that feels truly inclusive and supportive.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. And I think it's important to look at kind of the flip side of that too, which is that for white students on predominantly white campuses, there might be this phenomenon called social capital at play.
Social capital. What is that?
Yeah. So social capital refers to the advantages that come from shared networks and norms within a group. Mm. So, you know, think of it like having a built-in support system, right? It's
yeah.
not about excluding anyone, but it's just this feeling of, you know, belonging and ease within a group, and that can contribute to well-being.
So if a white student is already kind of experiencing that sense of belonging on a predominantly white campus, it's almost like they have this extra leg up in therapy, even if they're going for something completely unrelated.
Exactly. And for students from racial or ethnic minority groups, the opposite might be true, right? If they don't feel that same level of belonging and support, it could actually be kind of a barrier to their progress in therapy.
Wow, that's a really interesting way to think about it. So does this mean we kind of need to like rethink how we approach mental health support on college campuses?
I think so. I think we can't just focus on like you go to your individual therapy session and that's it.
Right.
We have to think about the whole environment, right? And how is that impacting students' well-being?
Yeah, and especially since we know that just having access to mental health services doesn't guarantee that everyone's going to have the same outcomes.
Right. Access isn't everything, right?
Exactly.
We need to look at the bigger picture, like the campus climate, the support systems, and even those kind of unseen stressors that might be holding some students back.
So it's almost like going beyond just checking boxes for diversity and actually like fostering a sense of belonging for everyone.
Exactly. Universities really need to take a hard look at their campus climate and ask themselves, you know, are we doing everything we can to make sure everyone feels seen, heard, and supported?
It feels like this is becoming less about just therapy and more about this bigger conversation about social equity and belonging.
It's all connected, right? I mean, the findings of this study really highlight how deeply intertwined our mental health is with the social and cultural context that we live in.
And it's important to remember that this is a correlational study, not a causation study.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't definitively say that the racial composition of a campus directly causes these differences.
Right.
But it's a pretty strong signal, and it's definitely something we need to investigate further.
This is super interesting, and we've just kind of scratched the surface here.
Yeah.
We've explained the study's findings, but where do we go from here?
Right. Lots to unpack.
Let's dig deeper in part two. Stay with us. We were just talking about this research on how the racial makeup of a campus can actually impact therapy outcomes. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was this term, racial battle fatigue. Like the constant burden of dealing with discrimination that a lot of people face.
Yeah, it's such a powerful term. It really gets at that lived experience that so many students from marginalized backgrounds have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, imagine facing microaggressions every day or feeling like you have to constantly code switch just to fit in.
Right.
That takes a toll mentally and emotionally. It's exhausting.
Yeah, it's like you're always on edge.
Yeah.
You know, always anticipating potential biases or having to explain your experiences to people who might not get it.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, you know, how can we better equip therapists to deal with these really complex issues?
Yeah.
Because even with the best intentions, some therapists might not really understand, you know, the nuances of racial battle fatigue or how systemic racism impacts mental health.
It's like expecting a doctor to treat a patient without knowing their medical history, right?
Exactly.
We need that context.
You need the full picture. And I think we need to make sure therapists are trained not just in clinical skills, but also in, you know, cultural competency and social justice.
Right.
They need to understand how those bigger systemic factors can actually show up in the therapy room.
I completely agree. And it's not just about the individual therapist, right? Like, universities have this huge responsibility to create environments where all students feel safe, supported, and empowered.
Absolutely.
But where do they even start, like, creating a truly inclusive campus culture that feels like a massive undertaking?
It is. It's not easy, but this study didn't offer, like, specific solutions.
Right.
But it did highlight some areas where universities could improve.
Okay. Like what?
Well, for example, they need to go beyond just offering diversity training, right?
Right.
They need to actually create tangible support systems and resources specifically for students from marginalized backgrounds.
Okay, so things like mentorship programs, affinity groups, cultural centers, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, places where students can connect with others who understand their experiences and find a sense of belonging.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it seems like it's really crucial that those initiatives are driven by student input.
100%. Universities need to actively listen to what students need and want.
Not just make assumptions,
right? And that involves more than just sending out a campus-wide survey.
Right.
It requires ongoing dialogue focus groups, maybe even like student-led committees dedicated to diversity and inclusion.
That's a good idea. But, you know, we have to be realistic. There are always going to be people who push back against these efforts.
Yeah.
People who say things like, oh, this is reverse discrimination or this is special treatment. How do universities handle that?
Well, I think it's important to frame these initiatives not as special treatment, but as creating a level playing field.
Right.
Everyone deserves to feel a sense of belonging and have access to the support they need to thrive.
Yeah.
It's about addressing those systemic inequities, not about giving anyone an unfair advantage.
So it's not about taking anything away from anyone. It's about making sure everyone has the opportunity to succeed.
Exactly. And ultimately, fostering a more inclusive environment benefits everyone, not just students from marginalized groups.
Right.
When all students feel supported and valued, the whole campus community thrives.
Yeah. You know, I think about it. You're more likely to learn and grow when you're surrounded by people from diverse backgrounds and perspectives.
Absolutely. It challenges your assumptions, it broadens your understanding of the world, and it prepares you for a more, you know, interconnected global society.
Yeah, it's like creating a rising tide that lifts all boats.
Exactly.
We've covered a lot of ground here. I'm curious to hear what our listener is thinking. What stands out to you from this conversation so far?
Maybe you're thinking about your own experiences on campus or in other environments where you felt a sense of belonging or maybe a lack thereof.
Right. And whether you're a student, a faculty member, or just someone who's interested in this topic, this research really gets us thinking about how we can create more equitable and supportive spaces for everyone.
We've talked a lot about the responsibilities of institutions.
Right.
But those individual actions matter too.
Yeah, like speaking up against microaggressions or being an ally to those who are marginalized.
Right.
Those seemingly small actions can actually have a ripple effect.
Yeah.
We've been talking about all this research on, you know, racial dynamics and therapy outcomes on college campuses. And it seems like those individual actions we were just talking about can really make a difference.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking about those bigger picture changes, you know, those systemic changes that need to happen.
Right.
Like, what are some concrete ways that universities can actually create more inclusive environments for all students?
Well, you know, it's a big question.
Yeah.
It's multifaceted, but this research does point to a few key areas where universities can really focus their efforts. One of those is moving beyond just those surface-level diversity initiative
Okay.
and really examining the campus climate.
Yeah.
You know, things like, are there policies in place that actually address discrimination?
Right.
Are resources being allocated equitably?
Is there a genuine commitment to fostering that sense of belonging for every student?
Yeah, it sounds like it's about shifting from just acknowledging diversity to actually promoting inclusion.
Exactly.
How do you even measure something like that?
Right. It's tough, right? Because a sense of belonging is kind of this intangible thing.
Yeah.
But that's where I think ongoing assessment and feedback are super important.
Okay.
Universities need to be regularly getting input from students, faculty, staff, from all different backgrounds
Right.
to really gauge their experiences and see where those areas for improvement are.
So, like through surveys, focus groups, maybe even creating some sort of dedicated committees or task forces that are focused on inclusion.
Exactly. It's about creating spaces where people feel comfortable sharing their perspectives and concerns.
Yeah, even if those perspectives are critical of the status quo.
Exactly. You need to be able to have those tough conversations.
Right, and then it's crucial to translate that feedback into actual action.
Right. It's not enough to just listen.
Universities have to show that they're actually committed to addressing these issues.
So what does that look like?
Well, it could be things like revising policies, allocating resources differently, or implementing new programs and initiatives.
So it's really about embedding inclusion into the very fabric of the university.
Exactly. It has to be more than just a diversity statement on the website. It's
Yeah.
about creating lasting systemic change.
This has been such a great conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like we've learned a lot,
Me too.
and it's definitely given me a lot to think about as we wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
What's one key takeaway you hope our listeners walk away with?
Well, I hope that this conversation has given everyone a deeper understanding of how our social environments, and especially on a college campus, can really impact our mental health and well-being.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about individual resilience, it's about creating communities where everyone feels supported, valued, and empowered to thrive.
Absolutely. And that's a goal worth striving for, not just for universities, but for all of us. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We hope it's given you some food for thought
Yeah.
and maybe even inspired you to create more inclusive and supportive spaces in your own lives.
Thanks for having me.
It was great having you.